The Evan Rad Snowboard Podcast is sponsored by Wired Snowboards from Vancouver, BC. I've ridden 5 different Wired boards. I've loved them all. Do yourself a favor and go to wiredsnowboards.com and order yourself a custom graphic, hand-built quality snowboard. Anon goggles are just a dream to ride. They've got magnetic lens technology, little magnets that you can attach your face mask. They're wicked comfortable. They fit your face. They're the best. Get yourself some Anon goggles. Dakine sent me outerwear, among other things, this year. And I realized the other day that most days I've ridden that Dakine stuff. So I've really been like a one kit snowboarder this year, which I haven't done since I was a kid. The Gore-Tex bib pants are next level. They work really well. They fit really well. And the jacket I picked, I'm really happy with. I got the 10,000 mil pullover. And it was dope. I rode it heliboarding. I've ridden it in the slush. It's just like the best. Tribute Board Shop in Nelson, BC sent me a Patagonia Micropuff mid-layer. I've ridden that every cold day this year. That's been a game changer for me. Vans keeps my feet in Vans boots and shoes. Can't thank Vans Canada enough. Thank you, Vans. Crow's Nest Barbershop, looking forward to getting my hair cut. It's been a year and a half. That's getting ridiculous. I still haven't done it. The Boardroom is right here in Vancouver, BC, but they ship anywhere in North America. Go to boardroomshop.com for anything snowboarding related that you need. And extra special thanks to Grouse Mountain, the peak of Vancouver. I rode up Grouse at the end of the day on Sunday when I actually rode all 3 local mountains. And I got to tell you, Grouse holds up, man. I had some epic runs there as the sun set. It's one of the greatest places in the world. If you're in Vancouver, make sure you visit Grouse Mountain.
It was a totally fun time. Didn't get too gnarly.
I kind of look at the Mystery Air as an improved evolution of the Switchblade.
Snowboarding is ours.
And obviously I like working with Burton.
As an old school snowboarder, you get so used to being treated as a second class citizen.
And I was like, how do you spell your last name? He said K-E-L-L-Y. And I was like, oh, we should get married. And he's like, no, too symmetrical.
Mikey Rentz is one of those pro snowboarders who's been going at it since he was like a little kid. He got on Burton when he was 8 years old, moved to Whistler with his family when he was still in school, and has been on Burton the whole time. He's won the X Games Real Snow. He's been on tons of magazine covers. He's had movie parts. And he's the nicest guy. And actually, one of my buddies was just talking about getting his sled fixed. And he was telling me that Mikey Rentz puts more kilometers on his sled every year than anyone else that this mechanic has ever seen. So he goes snowboarding a lot. Let's just go to the interview. Have you done a podcast before?
Nah. Honestly, just even started listening to podcasts last year, so...
Yeah.
I'm new to the game.
Yeah.
The Kearns one was the first one.
Right.
I think that was the first podcast I had ever listened to, actually.
See, now you're like the third or fourth person to say, like, yeah, that one of my podcasts is the first, which to me is bizarre. And I just talked to great snowboarders. Your name came up a lot. And then Steve put us in touch, which was dope.
Yeah, totally. No, it was awesome. Yeah, I've been listening, so...
That's rad. Al Clark was the one that told me, like, oh, yeah, he showed up in Whistler, and he was, like, a kid. And I was like, yeah, like, you know, we were all kids.
Yeah.
He's like, no. He was, like, an actual kid. What age were you when your mom moved you out there?
I was 13 turning 14, or, yeah, 13 turning 14. Like, it was in 99 was my first year to Whistler, grade 8.
And were you, like, set up and sponsored and you'd gone to the Worlds or anything like that?
Yeah, like I already rode. I've been riding for Burton since I was 8. And
happen? Tell me about getting on Burton at 8 years old.
I got on through the local Alberta rep initially through my shop sponsor, Rude Boys.
Cool, Rude Boys. All right.
And then, like the initial, like, ease into the actual company was they had a kids program called Backhill, and it was like a kids outerwear brand, like sub-brand of Burton, and it was called Backhill. And so they kind of went around all the reps, and they were looking for kids to come to these photo shoots. So I started going to all the shoots, and then I just kind of stayed with the company ever since then.
That's kinda pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's cool.
And so, like, you're a regional rider for a bit there. How fast does it flip over to, like...
Yeah, I think my first actual contract with them, I was 12.
So that's 4 years in. By the time you're 12, you're like, I've been on Burton for 4 years. Yeah. It's like a third of your life.
Yeah, I didn't really think about it that way, but I was kind of like, at the same time, like, I didn't know what was going on. So I was kind of like half riding. Like, I would go to these Backhill photo shoots and I would wear all the Backhill stuff. But then I started to ride for West Beach. But I was riding Burton boards, but I was riding for West Beach. And then Burton was like, whoa, like, what are you doing? You know? Yeah. And then they were just like, okay, we need to get you a contract. And then.
Oh, rad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've talked to a couple of people. The first, like, pro rider I talked to was Sean Farmer. And Farmer, as far as I can tell, has absolutely no idea how sponsorships work.
Like, still?
Zero. Like, to this day, if someone brings him a board,
yeah,
it seems like he would take it and be like, thanks. And if they say, like, we're going to put you on our website, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Sure.
And then you might see that same guy who just gave him a board might see him up on the hill later that day, and he'd be on a different board, and he'd be like, yeah, you only gave me one board. Like, yeah, it's only good for, like, certain conditions, and this one's my... I love this board.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I didn't get it as a kid really either, but...
Yeah, I guess maybe it's safe to say that Farmer's still a big kid.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Sure, yeah. Totally.
Yeah, he's dope. Actually, I think DCP told me that he saw a Farmer checking tires on the road up to wherever in Tahoe. Like, he's like, he definitely drives a snowplow.
Okay.
And he's definitely like safety, you know, road safety guy.
Oh, damn.
But yeah, that must be a tough gig for his boss, because when it's good, you need him out there on the road, and he's like,
yeah, he's still
up on the hill. Oh, yeah, like so. Like, he's still hungry. Yeah. It's cool. It's cool to see
sick
dudes in their 50s that rip. Yeah. And he's one of them for sure, for sure, for sure.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. So, West Beach, that era of West Beach, who's on?
It was like Kevin Young, Trevor Andrew.
Devin pre-Special Blend?
No, I don't think Devin was on then. I can't really remember. I remember KY and Trevor for sure.
Yeah.
Anthony Vitale was the team manager.
Oh, sick. Anthony's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're only 12 at that point, did you say?
When I was 10, I was on West Beach for maybe 2 winters.
Yeah.
And then Burton was like, whoa, like, what are you doing? I would go to the Burton shoot, and I was always wearing or rocking like Burton boards, boots, bindings.
Yeah.
And then I would go to, like, the Backhill shoot and wear my Backhill stuff. And then when I would go back to Canada, I'd get on my West Beach gear.
So you would get, like, photos published, and you'd be in West Beach, and then Burton's going, wait, how come you're not in your Backhill stuff?
I wasn't really getting that. Like, the most of the photos I would get published would be from those Burton shoots.
Yeah, okay. So you were, like, the kid in the catalog kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah, that sounds, pretty awesome, though.
Yeah.
Like, are you going on other photo shoots as well with people, like, at that time? Outside of, like, Burton bringing you the one place, or a couple of places.
Yeah, pretty much just the Burton stuff. And, like, we would do quite a few of them a year, like, maybe, like, 4 of them a year kind of thing.
Right. Would they fly you all over the world kind of thing?
Yeah, we were cruising around pretty good, and then, trying to think where we were going. I mean, a lot of stuff in the States, you know, Burton and being in Vermont and Tahoe and things like that. And then as we get older, like Japan. And
were you going without your chaperones, your mom?
No, they'd always fly my mom around.
They'd fly your mom too. That's so dope.
Yeah.
So then that would probably influence your mom's decision to move you guys out here, huh?
Yeah, it was kind of, I mean, that was pretty easy for, actually the schooling was the kind of main draw to go to Whistler, because the Whistler High School was like set up for ski racers. Well, not the whole school, but they had a ski racing program.
Right.
So once I got accepted into that class, whatever, as a snowboarder, then it was pretty easy to make that move.
Yeah. Because
I was traveling a lot at that time.
And so was that causing tension at the schools that you were at, or it just looked like it would be easier in Whistler?
Yeah, it was just going to be easier. And then, yeah, they just had like, I don't know, it's Whistler, you know? So it was already the Mecca, and it was kind of where I wanted to be anyway. So
yeah.
My mom was just cool enough to be down to.
Had you done some photo shoots there and stuff?
Yeah. And we'd always come for like West Beach Classic and stuff at that point.
Right.
And then I was already coming, like I would go for Craig Kelly camp in the summertime.
Dope.
And then I was already going to Super Pipe camp at that time before I moved to Whistler.
Which is that Al Clark.
Yeah. Up at Brome.
Brome. Yeah. Yeah. How fun was that?
That was awesome.
Oh yeah. So you would have been a camper there?
Yeah, or? I was a camper. And then the last year that it existed, I was technically, I guess a digger, but.
Yeah.
It's probably like the youngest digger ever.
Yeah, that's rad. Yeah. People have mentioned seeing you out in the backcountry, like with the sled crews, and like it'd be all these guys, their pizza, their beer, a fire, and a little kid.
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
Did you ever have kids your own age that you were friends with at that point?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, we had a good crew like in Alberta.
Oh, cool.
We had a good crew of shredders, and then moving to Whistler, like there was. Not more, I don't know, it's just, yeah, then there was just like a bunch of other sick young shredders too.
Kids in your class, were the people in the same program? Mm-hmm.
There still is actually this snowboard club called the Whistler Valley Snowboard Club.
Mm-hmm.
So when I first moved to Whistler, I did a season with them.
Yeah.
And, I had already known a few people from doing like junior worlds and things like that.
Right.
So we would go, I had known some people in Whistler already.
Did you go to that Junior Worlds? Oh no, that was David Benedict talked about that flight to the 95 juniors.
Listen to that one. No, I wasn't there. I kind of like, I missed the era of Junior Worlds because I'm younger. But like, I remember when I first got into Junior Worlds, they were like, "Oh yeah, Duff was doing this, and Trevor, and blah blah blah."
Rad.
But my like era of Junior Worlds was like Danny Cass,
sick.
Aaron Yamala, he won the pipe 1 year.
Nice.
Heike, Nicholas, Ika.
Incredible.
Yeah, cool crew.
That's
it's funny, like I didn't realize who a lot of the people were until after, and I think back, I'm like, oh yeah, that was Nicholas.
Oh, rad. Yeah, like you have a disconnect between the Nicholas from that competing time and him now.
Yeah, totally.
And then you're like, oh wait, that guy was there.
Yeah. For sure.
Were you friends with those guys, or there would have been
we were kind of like just meeting each other, and at that time too, a lot of those, like especially a lot of the Finnish kids, they didn't speak any English,
right,
and stuff, so like you kind of just like say what up or whatever.
How do you get so into snowboarding? I mean, obviously I know I've been around Canmore, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Beautiful mountains and stuff there.
Yeah.
But how do you get into it?
It was mostly through, I have an older brother, through like him and his circle of friends.
Mm-hmm.
And they were getting into it. And then at the same time, I was in this ski club. And every time we would go in for lunch, it was right in front of the half pipe. So I'd be eating lunch and I'd just see all these snowboarders right in the half pipe. And eventually I was just like, that looks way more fun. So then I eventually, I would do night riding like to learn how to ride, and then I got a snowboard, and then when I would go in for lunch, I would switch into my snowboard gear, go hike the pipe, and then go back to skiing, and then that only lasted like a little bit, and then I just did the full switch.
Rad. What board did you get? You must have been
I had a Moro. It's in the corner over there actually.
A little Moro.
Yeah, it was a 129, and then we got we got Rude Boys to cut it down and do a 125.
Oh my god, that's the best. Yeah. Cutting down boards.
Yeah, because it was like pointy nose, square tail.
Yeah.
And then we cut it into a twin tip.
Twin looking board.
Yeah.
That's so fun. That's awesome. Did you have some love for Moro having come up on a board?
Yeah, it was. And Moro was sick then, I thought, too.
Hell yeah.
And then, like, at the same time that I was, like, kind of, like, when I was on West Beach, they were owned by Moro at that time,
oh, too. Yeah, I forgot about that.
And, yeah, so it was, like, yeah, I thought Moro was sick.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
Chip Wilson wasn't there at that point, right? That was the tail end of...
I don't think so. He might have already left. I don't know. I remember hearing his Anthony had worked for them for a bit, so right. He has a lot of, like, stories about working for them when he was there. I just can't remember. I don't know. I was young. I don't know if he was there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that they sold it to Moro, and that was kind of when they backed out.
That's right. That makes sense.
Backed away from it. And then he started doing the Lululemon thing a few years after that, but really did take... lessons from building up West Beach.
Yeah.
And I have to say, peripherally, having seen the way that he treated his team riders, like international guys would come from Europe or whatever and just like crash at his house.
Yeah.
Like he was cool. And I'm sure he still is.
Yeah, I never met the dude.
Yeah, yeah. So like West Beach had a really good reputation. And like coming from like Ontario, West Beach was like... Like, I remember wanting a West Beach tattoo.
Yeah.
Actually, totally. So badly that I talked about it so much. One of the girls I dated in high school, she has a West Beach tattoo.
Oh, damn.
She got that. Yeah. And now I'm like, ugh.
Totally. Yeah, now that you say that, I've definitely seen people with West Beach tattoos.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And Vans. I thought that... I just was like... Yeah, I thought, I'm going to have all these brands tattooed on me. I don't know why.
Diehard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, just, you know, that's what your whole life is like.
No, for sure.
I can remember seeing people with Vans or West Beach stuff and being like, all right, like, you got the cool shit. And then you move out here and you're like, oh my God, everybody's got this stuff.
Yeah.
It's not just like fringe. I remember moving out to Vancouver and being like, holy shit, the skaters are jocks here. They're the guys beating up people. That's so weird. We were always the nerds getting beat up. What's up with that?
That's sick.
But then I also thought, yeah, it was pretty sick. Like they were running downtown.
Yeah, for sure.
It was awesome.
That's cool.
So you moved to Whistler.
Yeah.
Obviously, you get better at snowboarding right away.
Yeah, I kind of like... Well,
you're already good,
I
right?
I was like a... kind of a half pipe rider at that point.
Sure.
And like doing a lot of contests and stuff. And then moving to Whistler was kind of like the decline of like my competition aspect of riding and getting more into riding powder just because like I'd want to go ride the pipe or whatever, but it was just always full of snow.
Yeah.
And like kind of same with the park too. So we just started going and like building our own jumps and stuff like that. And then I would go to a contest and I wouldn't have like really ridden a half pipe in like a long time.
Right.
And I would just blow it. So then I just kind of like, that was pretty much the end of like competing was moving to Whistler, really.
You kind of knew like,
This is like super inconsistent.
There's not much point in going to halfpipe contests if I'm not riding halfpipe.
Yeah, for sure.
Hardly ever.
So then I just kind of start like, actually the first year I lived in Whistler, that summer I up at Superpipe Camp. I filmed some clips for the Treetop movie.
Rad.
And then, and that was kind of like my first like little Whistler movie I was in and then, or not little Whistler movie.
Yeah.
I had a little part in it. And then I started filming with Martin for Gathering Stuff when I was like 15, turning 16.
That's rad. Yeah. So like all along the way, there's these guys that are going, oh, this guy, we want to film with him, or people trying to get you hooked up with different companies and stuff all the time too, or were you pretty tight with Burton the whole time?
I've been like, ever since I kind of like figured out what like sponsorship was really like with the whole West Beach thing. But, I've been pretty tight with Burton for sure. And there was like definitely a few times where I had other offers and like, I don't even know if I would say, like, I almost left, but
right.
Like, I was thinking about it.
Do you give Burton kind of a heads up, or do you just go, you know, I'm weighing this, I'm weighing that, and I kind of like the Burton stuff? And
not at that point, no. It's just, like, pretty young. And
Yeah. It's kind of. Yeah. At what point do you figure out, okay, I'm going to probably be a pro snowboarder? Was it pretty early on?
I mean, in my head, growing up, like, just like reading snowboard magazines all day long, like, in my head, there was no point that I wasn't going to be a pro snowboarder, you know?
Cool.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, that was like the whole goal.
Were you like a weird kid in school, like, or were a lot of kids, like, were all your buddies all thinking snowboarding too?
There was like a couple,
yeah,
a couple friends that were really into it as well.
Like your bros, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. Just like skateboard all summer, snowboard all winter kind of
totally
thing.
Yeah. I didn't get into skateboarding until I was like 14, 15, like high school.
Yeah.
And I remember always thinking like, if I would have just got into it 1 year
yeah.
earlier. You always look and go, I can remember looking at Danny Way and being like, oh, that guy's so lucky that he got in when he's so young.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of skaters start when they're quite young. Mm-hmm. They don't all become a Danny Way for sure.
yeah, no doubt.
That's not even a part of it a lot of the time. He probably could have started in his 20s and still been amazing.
Yeah.
He's a
crazy talent. Yeah.
Cool. So like, you do the Whistler High School for 4 or 5 years, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
What happens over the course of that 4 or 5 years?
I was just filming, did a couple gathering movies, and then I started filming for Johnson for Defective Films.
Rad.
That was like my last couple years of high school, I think.
Yeah.
And then,
how was he to film with? He seems like a pretty good guy.
Yeah, it was cool. It was a good learning experience for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty professional. He's like
Totally. Yeah.
And by that point, he's completely sober and he's...
Yeah. He had been for a while already.
Yeah.
And we were mostly going filming with Pascal.
Yeah.
Gallant.
Yeah.
We weren't doing like too much day-to-day stuff with Johnson.
Yeah.
But... It was a good opportunity.
Oh, yeah, because he's running Stepchild at that point and everything, too.
Yeah.
He was a busy dude.
For sure.
He was...
totally. And he had just come from doing the Forum stuff, so, like...
Yeah.
The Forum dudes were kind of his crew a little bit, you know, when he brought them over to Defective.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was cool. But,
that's super
cool. I spent most of my time with Pascal.
Yeah.
For that.
Who were some of your favorite dudes to ride with? Like, who, you know...
Like Aaron Yamala, he's always been one of my favorite dudes to ride with. We've been riding together since we were like 16, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the first time we went sledding together. I started to film with Whiteout, and then again a lot more time with Arrow, Trevor Andrew, Alex Oshu, like Travis Kennedy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm kind of drawing a blank here right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't need to put you on the spot because this is totally. Years and years ago.
But, yeah.
Yeah. What's it like to be a kid in the backcountry with a sled? When do you get your first sled?
I was 15.
That's fucked up.
Yeah.
And how do you get a sled? Like, you are making enough from snowboarding that you're like, I'm going to get one of these.
Yeah, it was like, I think it was for the year that I was going to be filming for... The Gathering with Martin Gallant.
Right.
It was for the movie called Clockwork. It was kind of like, you need to buy a sled, basically.
Yeah.
So I bought a sled and a trailer because I couldn't drive. So then Martin would have to like come pick me up at my mom's house in the morning, hook up my trailer, and then...
That's amazing.
Yeah, drive to the spot.
What sled did you get?
I had a... I think it was in 02 because it was... I bought a 2000 Summit 600.
Yeah.
And then the engine blew almost immediately.
Right.
And then I bought a brand new sled.
Like a 2002?
Yeah.
Really? Wow. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, there's some sort of divide in there around that time, right? Like, sleds before 2002, maybe even later than that, they were just not as good, right?
Like, yeah, later than that, they got really...
Maybe 2004 or 2006 or something, right?
Yeah, the snowmobiles kind of blur all together for me, too.
Okay, but, because there's definitely, like, breaking points where it's like...
Yeah, they used to last a while, and now they don't.
Yeah.
They're great, but they don't really last very long anymore.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's awesome. So are you instantly addicted? Because for me, yeah, the first time I try sledding, I'm like, this fucking sucks. It's so hard and dangerous and raw. But I get, I would imagine if I was doing it as a kid, you're kind of just looking past all the danger part, going like, I just want to be able to do this.
Yeah, totally. Exactly like that. Because I wasn't thinking about like that it was difficult or dangerous or anything. It was just like, this thing is going to get me like here to go snowboarding. Like, yeah, this is amazing.
Had you done a few heli trips or anything like that before that?
I had done maybe some a couple heli days, but nothing that, you know, they would have been like super, super green. And then done some catboard and stuff. And then I had been sledding like maybe once or twice the year before with like some older like friends that would take me out.
Yeah.
And yeah.
You've got a reputation now, you know, because talking with Craig, he said, you know, he learned more. I can't remember if he said in a month of riding with you guys or a week.
Oh yeah, last
like,
year. Yeah,
yeah, he's like, it just like upped his level.
Sick.
To, you know, and he was really thankful.
Yeah, cool.
And you have a reputation for that, of being a guy that, okay, he's one of the backcountry OGs, and, you know. if we're going with him, you're paying attention to what Mikey's doing.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, what? I've spent a lot of time out there now, so.
Yeah, yeah. And you're still in love with
no doubt,
for Whistler sure. Backcountry especially?
Yeah, I mean, we're... The last two seasons, we've been spending a lot of time outside of Whistler.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think that, like, for snowmobile access, snowboarding, it doesn't get any better than, like, the Whistler area.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of zones that have been, you know, on one side, people are like, we used to be able to go here and have this to ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, like Devin and guys like that were like, you wouldn't even think.
Totally.
Like, this spot's going to be blown out. I didn't get my trick. I'll come back next time it resets.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think, oh, I have to come here first.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Because it's just like, it would just be sitting there waiting for you.
Yeah, for sure.
And now it's like, you got to get there first and claim it. And
yeah,
that's crazy, right?
It's, yeah, it's pretty funny.
Are you able to find new spots?
Yeah, totally.
So it's just a big, vast... For listeners that don't know, there's like hundreds of kilometers all around, you know, if you drop a pin in Whistler that you can...
Yeah.
Is there anywhere you're not able to access, like, because of...
Yeah, like, pretty much, rules or like, whatever? If you're driving north from Squamish to Whistler, pretty much everywhere on the right-hand side of the highway is non-motorized.
Right.
So, everything on the left-hand side of the highway is...
Yeah, because you can get from Martin's place all the way up to Pemberton, yep, right? That's crazy to me. So there's got to be like so many ridges in there.
Mm, yeah, totally. Now, that's what's so special about it here is like you can link all the zones.
Mm-hmm.
So you can like really just go forever.
Oh, that's rad.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Do you do overnighters out there a lot or not?
Not a lot.
It's so, the access is so close, right?
It's close, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's cool. Like I do like doing the overnighters every once in a while.
Right.
But yeah, it's a lot of preparation and. We're pretty close anyway, so.
Yeah, it's nice to sleep in your own bed.
Yeah.
We did the Brandywine overnight a couple of times before the cabin burned down.
Yeah.
And we even had it booked, and I think we got there and the lock had been cut off,
mm-hmm,
and there were, like, people there.
Oh, totally.
And we had to say, like, we booked this, so you got to get out of here.
Yeah, for sure. There's probably some critters living in there, too.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, that place was getting trashed.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was really nice. I went, oh my God, I went up and I got invited and it was very kind of like casual, right? Yeah. Hey, we're going to stay overnight up at a cabin. So I'm thinking, cool, there's probably like beds with sheets and stuff, right? Like, so I showed up with nothing. I just sleep with my jacket as a pillow. And, like, my pants over top of me.
Yeah.
It's terrible, dude.
I bet.
Yeah, I was like, I'm never doing this again.
For sure.
Ever.
Yeah.
And then we went winter camping up at Hot Springs.
Yeah.
Up by Slow Cat or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, God, this is no better. How have I not learned my lesson? Why camp in the winter? It's not worth it.
Yeah. It's
just do day trips,
man. Whole other animal. Yeah.
You've been with Burton the whole time?
Yeah.
What changes have you seen at Burton as far as, you know, like... We don't have to talk contract stuff. I just mean, like, I can remember the Burton of the mid to late 90s. It was fucking cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think, like, when I first was on, they had, like, a huge team.
Yeah.
And then they really, really trimmed, obviously, like,
2001.
Almost, like, every year. Yeah. It was just, like, boom, 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 boom.
2001 was, like, just, like, a hacksaw.
Yeah.
Like, they just cut everybody.
I'm trying to think. I think, like, maybe, it was either 01 or 02, and I went to a Burton shoot in Argentina.
Yeah.
And there was so many riders there. It was so sick. It was awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just like tripped me out. I was like, damn, these guys are so good.
Yeah, they had so many so good riders
for
a really long time.
For sure.
I can remember around, might have been 2006, when the bottom had kind of fallen out and the industry hadn't reacted yet.
Mm-hmm.
And they were still, like, doing these video projects, and
they
hadn't really done the numbers for a few years on, like, who would go see videos.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And video premieres were, like, they were still doing them in, like, a movie theater, and there was, like, 8 people in the movie theater.
Like, in Vancouver?
Yep.
Yeah. I remember, like, it was, like, multiple years in a row, every time the Burton premiere would get booked in Vancouver, it was on Thanksgiving weekend.
Oh, man. Which is opening weekend? Like, Canadian Thanksgiving?
Canadian Thanksgiving. Oh, okay. So it's like, no one, no one's coming out.
I remember being at that and being like, there are more pro riders here than there are, like, us spectators. Yeah, I'm feeling bad right now.
For sure.
But it definitely didn't have anything to do with Burton. It just had something to do with the industry and the promotion of the event.
Right? Yeah.
It's really, really tough. It was really, really tough to get people out for stuff at that time.
Yeah, for sure. I'd say, like, premieres were, like, I loved going to premieres forever. And then, they were, like, dying down. And then the last Wildcats premiere in Vancouver, I was like, damn.
It's
like,
back.
People come to premiere
back
still.
On.
This is crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That was the first one that did that again.
Yeah.
That was like the old premieres. And I think that's probably because the Wildcats in Vancouver just stirred up that nostalgia for those. I don't know if you ever went to the old Wildcats premieres, did you?
Yeah, I was young, but I was.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, for sure.
There was one where Mike LeBlanc came up and he had a movie that year where he kept doing all these airs to flat.
Yeah.
It was insane.
Like over all the stairs.
And remember that movie? Yeah.
Oh, wasn't that Destroyer or?
It could have been.
Something. Waiting movie.
I remember seeing it in the theater in front of a packed house, people throwing beers and everything was just crazy.
Yeah.
And being like, that is the most unique movie I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't cut to any big mountain stuff. There was, mm-hmm. was just, like, really, fuck it. It was cool.
Mm-hmm.
I should go back and watch that, because I haven't seen it since it came out.
Yeah. Like, they always had 6 skits in those movies, too.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about all that stuff, too. Yeah. When I go back and watch, like, guests' parts, like Mark Frank Montoya's parts, I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah, totally.
I always still feel like, oh, that would hold up today. And then when I see an edit on Instagram, I'm like, oh, like the lobster guys and the shit that those guys do.
I don't know. Some of the stuff, though, that people have done would still be legit. Like, people would still put them in their parts for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. I definitely agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun to go back and watch.
Yeah, it really is.
Otterstrom.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, he's an animal.
And still now, do you see his Insta feed?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, what is that? Yeah. Is he super young or something? Like, he's still, like, charging. Yeah.
Passionate. Crazy. Passionate.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
Yeah, he's super sick. Sick talent and sick dude.
So, what kind of, have you ever had to do side jobs and work like that when you're a kid? No. So you're probably in that last generation where you were able to really have a great
very
adult life, right?
Very grateful, but I started to get like actually paid monthly to snowboard when I was 14.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been it.
That's fucking good.
Yeah, it's
cool. What would happen at that age? Would you just get this thick bank account and do whatever you want? Was your mom kind of intervening? And
well, it kind of went in a couple stages, because at first I didn't realize that I got paid every month to snowboard. Like I knew that I was getting paid from Burton, but like I didn't really know why or like what it was for, really, you know?
This is incredible.
And
really?
then after a bit I was like, oh, I got some money in my bank.
Yeah.
And then the first thing I would do is I would like take all my friends for lunch and we'd buy like cakes and stuff.
Yeah, dude.
And then, yes, that was when I was 14. And then maybe when I was 15, I like went through this like a super weird stage where I was like, I'd buy like Versace shirts.
Yeah, like, no, I could see that.
And like I had all this like these Sean John velour suits and like Armani glass, like super, super corny, but like...
Where would you get this stuff? Whistler?
I would take the bus down to Vancouver.
Oh my God. And go to like Robson Street and just pile bags, come back with shopping bags full of shit.
Like, I mean, I came back and my mom was like, what the hell are you doing?
Right.
Yep. And then when I was 17, she was like, all right, I got you a meeting with a realtor in Squamish. You're gonna buy a townhouse in Squamish. I was like,
dope.
Okay. So then I did that, and then
At 17,
that was kind of like the switch.
So I'm taking from context clues here that your mom didn't say like, this is mostly your money, but I'm gonna use it for the stuff for the family because I'm still in charge of you and that kind of stuff.
No.
Zero.
Yeah.
Wow, that's exactly what I would do.
Yeah.
I'm thinking my own kids, right?
Like, yeah, for sure.
Man, if they were making plenty of bank before they moved out, I think I'd be like, I don't know, you might have to throw down for some rent or something.
Yeah, totally.
We'll go to a bigger place or something. Oh, that's pretty rad.
Yeah, no, it was awesome. It was good learning.
And then when you meet with the realtor, do you start to realize, okay, like this is a part of what I'm going to have to do now is like manage this money and... I can't just buy velour suits and shit.
Yeah, that was kind of like the eye opener for sure. Because I remember like when I bought the place, I didn't have enough money to like live in it by myself.
Right.
And I rented it out anyway. But I remember like trying to crunch all the numbers, like if I don't get satellite TV or you know whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Nah, I can't do it. So anyway, that was kind of like the.
That's where you start looking at it.
Started to like work out budgets.
That's fascinating. That's incredible. Like, yeah, because, I mean, when I was 17, I had a job that paid probably, like, $3 an hour or something. So, like, I never had to worry about, like, where the money was going. It was just going to gas in my car and food. That was it. It was, like, it's all taken up.
Yeah, yeah.
But that would have been a challenge for sure.
Yeah,
What about, like, your brother and stuff? Like, was it stressful to, you know, was there ever any time where he's, like, fucking give me some of that money, asshole.
No. My brother, he's 5 years older than me, and he was like university and
cool.
Things like that.
And he's just proud of his little brother kicking ass at snowboarding. And
he's great.
That's super dope, he's dude. Stoked. That's really good. So you're 17, you own a place down here, you're still living in Whistler at that point?
Yeah, I was still living with my mom, or like maybe that was the year that we moved out. I moved out in with Johnny Lyle and Aaron Imola.
Oh, sick.
Maybe when I was like 18.
Yeah.
Anyway, then I lived up there with those guys for a couple of years, and then when I was 21, I moved down here.
And then you base yourself out of here.
Yeah.
And this whole time, are you riding Whistler, you know, like 10 days a year, 20 days a year, and then sledding the rest? Or?
Yeah, like Yeah, like when I was in high school, I would ride the resort a bunch.
Yeah.
And then once I like really started filming kind of like full time.
Right.
Just kind of rode the hill less and less.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I don't go up there too often anymore.
How much pressure did you put on yourself to get a good part? It seems like you're pretty chill.
Yeah, I mean, I never like, I used to have like a trick list.
Right.
You know, and then you just realize after a while that that's pointless because it's like. You know, if you go out one day to specifically get one trick, like this, you could just waste the whole day. Like you gotta adapt your day to whatever's going on.
You get what you get.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So yeah, I learned that pretty quickly that was useless. And yeah, I don't know. It was just kind of, we had so many good seasons here, really, that it was like kind of made it easy, you know. It's just good snow.
How did the Olympics change, you know, the scene in Whistler, or did it at all?
I didn't really notice. I was already like, well, what was the first year of Olympics?
98 was the first one.
Yeah. I guess I was like, I was pretty interested in the Olympics at that time. And that was kind of my phase out. Like, I remember my dad, I was like getting out of doing competitions, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And, my dad was kind of like, you know, like, if you think you can go to the Olympics, like, you should try. There's not many people that say that, like, they could maybe go to the Olympics.
Right.
And I just really wasn't into it. So, I was on, like, the Canadian junior national team at one point. Like, when
yeah.
I was, like, probably when I was 13, something like that. And then, pretty much stopped all that stuff, like, 14, 15.
Yeah. Competitions are kind of... Like, I mean, especially when you move to Whistler, and now you're getting to ride with all these guys that have, like, the right attitude about getting into the backcountry and what snowboarding's all about.
Yeah, totally.
Like, it's hard to maintain that hunger for competing, huh?
Yeah, for sure. And, like, the people I looked up to were never, like, for sure some contest guys. Like, you know, Terry, Trevor was always killing contests.
Totally.
And stuff, but I was always really looking, like, I just watched videos and read magazines. So.
Yeah.
Those were the guys that I really wanted to, like, emulate.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you were on the team and you were a kid when Terry was just crushing, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just, like, blown away by, like, how many people have been on that team since you started.
Totally.
Jesus.
It's been, yeah.
It's like most of the industry, you know?
Yeah,
it's a good company, obviously.
Yeah, no doubt.
Right?
100%.
And they support the people that they support. And then when they have to make those awful decisions, was it difficult for you to see your friends getting cut from the team?
Yeah. I mean, 100%. It's crazy for sure.
Yeah.
But, it happens to everybody. And
yeah. Was there ever a time where you're like, I'm going to... Like, if these guys are all gone, I gotta go.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Or not that I was like, I'm gonna quit if they get fired. I was like, oh, I'm gone for sure.
Oh, I see. Yeah, seeing it from the other side. Like, if they're getting fired, God knows they're not gonna keep me on the team. Totally. Oh, no. Oh, that's... But obviously, they didn't feel that way. Why do you think that is?
I have no idea.
Really? Yeah. You've never sat down and asked them ever?
No.
How many team managers have you been through?
So many, probably like 10.
Oh my god,
maybe more.
So when you get a new team manager, what do they do? Do they reach out and call you? Hey, I'm running the team now. Just want.
Yeah, I mean, it's never anybody really like super random. It's always somebody that's either been with the brand for a while and you know they had another job.
Yeah.
At some point, and they've kind of been working their way up to that job, or somebody else from the industry who's moved over.
Right.
So you kind of always know who the person when they get into the position.
Super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I don't think there are very many. I don't know. Now I'm just talking at my ass. I don't know anything about any other industries, but like in sports, I don't think there's any other sport that's dominated like 60-70% by one single entity, you know,
like as a brand or
like skiing. I don't know anything about it, but aren't there lots of big ski brands? They all kind of compete against each other.
I wouldn't
know. Yeah, I don't know in anything. Yeah, we can cut all that out.
It's all good.
Fuck yeah, man. So what's on the agenda, like, nowadays, like the last few years?
Generally start the season off here, but this year we had such a slow season. So I was in Revelstoke. I was in Revelstoke for, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks or something
They
like
had a
that,
pretty kinda, good start,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was sweet. It was awesome. And, just hanging with Dustin down there, because he moved to Revelstoke, like, a year ago.
Do you think that's a difficult place to be a pro and live? You think he misses out on any, you know, stuff not being here?
I mean, potentially, but it's kind of the, you know, you get to snowboard a lot there. And
his and that one shot in the Kazoo, which was in the trailer,
yeah,
like the overview of him going off, like that's like a bit of a wedge off of what looks like a cliff or something. I think that was my favorite shot of the whole year.
Was it the one down into the lake?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
It was just so big.
Yeah, sick.
And so it was shot so well. Cinematically, it was just like, ah!
Yeah, for sure. He had really good shots in there.
Yeah, and he deserves all... He's a really, really good snowboarder. He's 100%. Freaking believable.
Totally.
How long did you guys ride together?
A
few seasons out here?
Yeah, like he actually moved into here.
Mm-hmm.
With me, the first year he got here, like, was at, like, 20... I'm not even going to say a year. I can't remember.
Like, yeah, what, maybe 2012. Where did he move here from? Like
he was living in Banff previously.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he moved just down the street here for a while, and then I think it was... This is his second winter in Revelstoke now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It must be nice to have him there. You can just go
when it's good. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. He's the man on the ground there.
Yeah. I want to go visit Al Clark again.
Yeah.
He just posted something today, and I'm like, okay,
yeah.
Cat skiing's closed down.
Yeah.
Time to go up there with the sleds.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, we were there not long ago, like maybe 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I did a cat day with him up there.
Yeah.
With Great Northern, and I was like, this stuff is, that's world class.
Yeah. They got some of the best snow up there.
Yeah, good snow and just super steep fall line,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, I went with PMS. This stuff was pretty good.
Yeah.
It wasn't all like super steep like this.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe we did a full day of like nowhere that wasn't like, you know, like pow surfing good.
Yeah, totally. No, they got some of the best tree runs ever up there. So.
Yeah, super rad.
Nice.
When you go out of I mean, it all makes sense. You go out of competitions, mm-hmm. and you're in the Mecca for sledding,
mm-hmm.
and you start filming with like all the right people, all the right companies. You've kind of just maintained that this whole time, huh?
Yeah, for sure. We did. I'm trying to think. Yeah, we did the whiteout years, and then we started filming that. Oh, I did a year with People. They were making movies,
right?
And then from there. Then we started doing, like, the Burton team productions, and that's when things, like, really kind of, like, escalated.
Yeah.
And so we did, like, 4 or 5 projects of, like, team projects kind of thing. And
yeah.
Then,
How are those team projects? Because I know the one premiere that I remember going to, they didn't have any Shaun White in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Shaun had his own movie that year. Remember that one?
The White Album?
Yeah. Which was a great movie, but completely different from the Burton movie that year. The Burton movie had a much warmer feel.
Yeah, for sure.
Is that something that you guys would know? Like, would you guys be talking amongst each other going, fucking Sean's not even doing this movie?
Or you would kind of like, you would kind of know already, like, oh, they're like, they would try to do a Sean shoot, but...
Right.
It might not work kind of thing. Like,
yeah, I gotcha.
So, yeah, those ones were always kind of up in the air.
Was he someone on the team that you would ever travel with? Or
I did a lot when we were young, like all those backhill shoots and stuff.
Oh, shit. He was that age? Yeah, you guys are the same age?
The same age, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we traveled a lot together till we were like 15.
So what probably. Was he like as a kid? Was he was
exactly the same?
So he wasn't like super nice to you. You guys weren't like high fiving and buddies.
No, we were bros, but like he's exactly the same dude.
Really? Even as a little kid? So he's like kind of. I can remember seeing him in the movies and or seeing him talk in one of the movies and being like, "Oh, he's a little bit arrogant, but I mean, he can be. That's fine."
Yeah.
He's like a ripper. He's competing against the adults, and he's for like sure. a kid.
That's what I always say when people talk trash on him. I'm like, you know what? I respect him because I've known him for so long, and obviously his talent is crazy.
Right.
But I'm like, he's never changed. I've known him since because I first met him at Craig Kelly Camp. We were 7, and
so you just I've blew my mind. That's crazy to me.
Since we were 7, yeah.
For real.
But yeah.
So. Were you both on the team? No, you were. That's pre you being on the team.
Yeah, it was. That was when I was on my Moro board, and then
And your mom sent you to Craig Kelly camp at 7? How fucking adorable is that?
Yeah. She would come out with me and she would camp. And then I would stay with the camp.
Yeah.
And so she was like kind of always around.
But, she's around, but she's not like in the barracks or whatever.
No.
Yeah, I went to Wendell's camp when I was 16. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I was a kid at that camp. I can't even imagine. I was probably one of the youngest at that camp.
Yeah.
At 16. Seven. Were there any other 7-year-old kids? Just you and Sean?
Yeah, just me and Sean. There wasn't even really that many 7-year-old snowboarders at that time.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, he was a novelty. I can remember being like, how do they even find a board that small for him?
Yeah, for sure. I remember that winter going into that summer. He had a shot in Transworld on the first hit in U.S. Open.
Yep.
He was doing like a front side.
I can think of it. Yeah, I remember that shot.
And I was like, damn.
Do you think you could have done that at that time?
Were
you looking at it going like, I think I could have done that?
Yeah, I mean, I probably thought I could have. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's rad. And so then you would see him year after year.
Yeah, and then we started traveling a lot together and then...
Would you guys have to like share rooms or stuff, or was he already like, no, I want my own room?
No, we would share rooms and stuff, and like, actually, like we kind of like got into a bit of a fight.
Yeah,
and that was like the last time we really like started.
What the hell was that all about?
We were just spending too much time together.
You're like 12 years old, and you had one of those 12-year-old fights.
Yeah,
which was like about nothing, but it's like about something.
Yeah, he was just like being Sean, and I was sick of it, and
we just. Did you punch him out?
We had some blows. But anyway, then after that, like, he didn't really want to see me for a while.
Yeah.
And
which
is all good, though.
Yeah, was he at that point able to say to Burton, like, I don't want to travel with that guy anymore? Or was it just more like, ah, fuck, whatever?
I had heard some stuff, but I had heard it was more his mom.
Whoa.
It was kind of like...
Like he comes home with a black eye and
he's he punched me. Yeah.
No.
But I remember like the next year, or like maybe later that year, Trevor came up to me. He was like, yo, like, what are you doing punching my boy Sean?
Wow.
And I was like, I don't know, man. Whatever, but
That's pretty hilarious, man.
It is funny, yeah.
I know when I talked to Terrier a bit about Sean, he seemed disappointed that Sean didn't do more for the sport, you know, because the sport did a lot for him as a kid, as it has for you. Yeah. You seem to be giving back quite a bit, right? Like if people are, you know, exalting your name in the backcountry, saying you can't learn from anyone better than this guy. Sean could be doing that for kids in halfpipe or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know what makes certain people, you know, want to be the best, though. Like, because that's a really hard... I've heard people say, oh, good luck interviewing Terrier, too, because he's like, he's like standoffish. And I understand why he is, because in that exact same way, it's like we put him up on this pedestal saying like he's unbeatable and he's so good. And he's like, so he could pick and choose who he would hang out with. Mm-hmm. And I don't find that with him. I find that he's just a fucking... awesome guy.
Yeah, he's wicked.
Yeah, one of my favorite people I've ever snowboarded with. Like, hey, follow me here. And then you go and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
Yeah, he's like just trying to take you somewhere where you're either going to like take yourself out or like if you can keep up, he's stoked.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Totally different outlook on things. Mm-hmm. When he made that stance about the Olympics, did that affect you, or were you already just out of the competition?
No, that was 98. I'd only been snowboarding for like 4 years at that point. But
you're a little kid, right? Yeah,
but I do remember like when I heard that he wasn't going to do the Olympics, it kind of like made the Olympics way less legit, just because it was
rad.
Like, well, if the best dude isn't going to do it, then like
right.
Then what does that say about it, you know?
It's pretty crazy that it's sort of changed over the years, right? Like, because that narrative has sort of changed to where people are like, I'm not sure he would have won.
Yeah.
But he was the best. He was the best that year and the years leading up to that when you got everybody in the world who was good at one contest and then they were battling it out. Terrier would, he was a shoo-in a lot of the times.
Yeah, like, was it Jan Simon that won that one, maybe? Like
it was. The first one ever? Yeah, I think it was.
It's like super curveball.
Kind of. Yeah. I mean, every single one was kind of a curveball for the first little while.
Yeah, yeah, true.
And so then that really does lend itself to the fact that, like, hey, you know what? It didn't have a lot of clout in the beginning. Yeah. There was a lot of, like, naysayers. Mm-hmm. But then kids come into snowboarding knowing that the Olympics is a thing. Mm-hmm. And they're like, of course I want to go to the Olympics.
Yeah, for sure.
There was no ISF by that point. So there's only one real mm-hmm. kind of goal, and that's to get to these Olympics, which you and I both remember pre-Olympics competitions. There was like money and like they were kind of cool. There was like, you know, the West Beach Classic was probably the biggest snowboard event in Western Canada for 100% sure.
Yeah, the crowds were insane.
Mm-hmm. It was like a really fun... Cool. Like, it was just like snowboarding took over Whistler for a day.
Yeah, totally. I remember, like, when we would travel out from Alberta to just, like, be around the event, because it was, like, you'd just see all the pros, and it was like, damn, like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
Everybody's here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was unfortunate that West Beach kind of tanked it after that. And then Sims tried to
redo that. That was pretty cool. Did they do like a couple years or just 1 year?
I don't remember. I think it might have been two.
Yeah, they had definitely 1 year where it was sick.
I think they called it the Sims Classic.
Yeah, Sims Invitational.
Sims Invitational, that's right. I remember they came in and I was working at the shop and Sims was like, Sims is back. We got MFM. We're like killing it and we're taking over Whistler. We bought the rights to the West Beach or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or being like, I'm not sure that's enough.
Yeah.
But hopefully.
I think that was later. The Sims, too, when Keir did, like, that big-ass McTwist at the top of the pipe.
Could have been.
That was the Sims, I think, too.
Yeah, I'm going to talk to Keir. I don't know why I haven't recorded with him. We talked about it, and then it happens a lot.
Yeah.
Where it takes, like, a few weeks, and then if I don't stay on it, then it's the next season. I'm like, oh, fuck, sorry, dude. Like, let's get back.
Sure.
On track for this. I also thought I was going to travel down there.
To Cali?
I thought I was going to do like Wyoming, Utah, Cali, Oregon, Washington kind of thing.
See.
It's a big trip.
Yeah, yeah. Take a while.
But like it's rare that the snow isn't going to just line up like that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And then Terrier said he's going to be in Banff and I was like, oh, I'll go there first. And then one day turns into four.
Yeah, see.
And then it snows in Revy. I'm like, oh, I'll just go to Revy.
Yeah, totally.
And skip all the interviews.
Yeah.
I tried to interview a couple of people in Revy and Dustin too.
Yeah.
It's not easy chasing dudes around.
For sure.
Yeah. Thank you, especially that's what it is. I heard the Man Boys guys talking about it. Like, it's hard to do a podcast in the winter when you're so friggin' busy, right? Yeah. Are you friends with those guys?
Yeah.
They're a few years younger,
Some of them are younger, some of them are older.
Yeah?
But, yeah, pretty much.
I like the vibe. They're kind of just carrying that Whistler torch, right? Like, there's always going to be a crew out of Whistler that is having fun and is going in the backcountry and crushing it on those sunny days.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny now because there used to be tons of crews, and now it's just like, get to the parking lot, and you're like, oh, there's the Man Boys, and there's us, and I don't know, maybe like DC crews there or something, you know, it's like,
yeah,
it's pretty chill.
Yeah, has there been a bit of a shakedown in the industry, you think, then? Or?
I think there's just less production companies, and...
Videos were dead there for a while, like people were really saying, oh, it's all going to be, you know, online edits, and... Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how kids see their media now, I guess.
Yeah, totally. No, you can't fight it. That's just kind of the way it's rolling, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. And trends roll going down. Mm-hmm. That's got to be a bummer for you guys.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't have a subscription?
I think I get them still.
Really?
So they were just getting like so thin, you know, you're like, oh, something's going on here.
It's interesting when you're paying attention, hey? When you look and you see and you're like, oh, there's Yeah, they've gotten thin again. There's no car ads.
Yeah. Like barely any snowboard photos, actually.
Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah.
I hadn't paid attention to magazines in forever. Mm-hmm. King Snow seems to be pretty awesome.
Yeah, King Snow's sick.
Every time I get one, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is dope. This is what a magazine should be.
Yeah, I like those guys.
But then the reason I like it is there's not tons of advertising in it, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think it's, I don't know, it's, more and more I find that snowboarding's a really small market.
Yeah,
it's very niche.
Totally.
But like it's dense with really good people.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like every generation.
Yeah, for sure.
Like the people that like stick with it. Mm-hmm. Like an Alex Warburton.
Yeah.
It's like one of the coolest fucking people in the world.
Totally. He lives like just down the street here.
Oh, he's the best.
Yeah.
And so many snowboarders look up to him.
Yeah, for sure.
Because he was the man at Whistler. He was, like, from what I hear, the first, like the dude at Whistler.
Yeah, yeah.
And people would be like, you know, come in from out of town. Okay, I hear you're the best.
No way.
Like, let's see what you got.
Like, have a duel or something.
Yeah. That's funny, man.
Yeah, that's sick. Yeah, he's rad.
Awesome. So, you have never had to work outside of snowboarding.
No.
And you've never had to do anything in snowboarding where you're, like, helping rep or work at a shop or something.
No.
That's fucking amazing.
Like, I would think, like, when I rode for the rep, like, maybe I would help out the rep
every
once in a while. Well, I would have been, like, 8 years old.
Yeah, when you're a little kid.
Yeah.
So you thought you were helping, but really it was just...
Yeah, no, I haven't.
Do you know anybody else that's in your shoes like that?
Yeah, I think there's more than you would think. Mikkel's here. He's downstairs. He's never had a job.
Dope.
And Ika's downstairs. He's definitely never had a job. So there's more than you would think. But
that's crazy, right? Yeah, you're spoiled.
I think about it a lot. Oh, yeah.
Do you,
so spoiled.
Yeah, do you think about it? Because, you're spoiled. Like, this is your...
Yeah, I'd have to be crazy to, like, not admit that I don't think about it a lot.
Right. Yeah. What kind of... Yeah, what... So where do you think it would...
I really don't have a good answer. Like, I thought for a bit that I would want to be a filmer.
Cool.
Just because I love being in the backcountry and, like, just the whole, like, motion of the whole thing going down.
Yeah, sure.
But, I don't know, I bought a camera last year and I have like zero passion for the like, I don't know, shooting and unloading the footage and whatever. It's just not my scene. But it's cool. It's just,
I understand.
Yeah.
Surface was talking about it that like, you know, when shooting snowboarding dries up or surfing or whatever, people will ask him like, what are you going to shoot now? And he's like, fuck, it's not like I'm dying to shoot photos.
Yeah.
I just like taking photos of snowboarding because it's my passion. Like, like he snowboarded and
for sure,
came from doing that, you know? It's not like he's going to go shoot weddings or something.
Yeah.
But,
maybe.
Yeah. What about what Martin does? Like that seems to be a pretty dope move, right?
Like how so? What do you mean?
Just Airbnb out of
place. Oh, yeah.
Get a little place, build a place, Airbnb it out.
Yeah, well, he's super handy, so...
He's a mega handy.
Yeah, so...
Did you make it through life without being handy? Like, can you fix a sled?
Hell no.
Can you fix a car, truck, a bike?
I could... Dude, I don't know. I built a fence last summer.
And? How'd the fence turn out? Pretty good?
It's top of the line. Yeah.
That's sick, dude.
Yeah, no, I'm not, like, the handiest dude, for sure.
But, I mean, you can build a fence. It's good.
Yeah.
You're somewhere there.
Yeah.
Maybe can't build a cabin out in the woods. But.
Well, that's a plan this summer because I want to build this cabin in the woods.
Brad.
And then I can learn some carpentry with minimal people watching.
It's pretty easy stuff, dude. Yeah. It really actually is easier than you think.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that as someone who went to carpentry school.
Oh, okay.
And then I never did anything with it.
Yeah.
It's mostly just about learning to use pretty simple tools, saws and routers and shit.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, you can do it.
Cool.
If you can build a fence.
Yeah.
Then you just got to go slow. Build a wall.
Yeah.
Build a roof.
Perfect.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the summer plan. Hopefully it follows through.
Do it for fun and then maybe Airbnb the place out or...
No, it's gonna be like a little snowmobile cabin kind of thing.
That's sick. Yeah, Joey. Do you know Joey Williams?
From Vancouver.
Yeah, Travis's brother. He built a place.
Oh, sick.
Yeah, like definitely not on property he owns.
Yeah, okay.
You know.
Yeah, yeah.
And it looked really rad.
Nice.
Yeah. That's so
cool. Sick.
That was kind of when I moved out here from Ontario. We had built a bunch of cabins in the woods, and I looked at grouse. And I was like, ooh, right there.
Yeah.
I should build a cabin right there. I forgot about that. I thought, oh, yeah.
That's some prime real estate.
Yeah. But you know how fast they would... What are you doing with all this stuff?
Totally.
In West Vancouver or whatever, in North Van. Out here, you got a lot of great... space.
Yeah, totally.
That you can get into. Do you do camping and stuff in the summer?
Yeah, I do a lot of camping and hanging out in the woods.
Yeah, yeah. Enjoy your yard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you mountain bike or any of that stuff?
No, I don't really mountain bike. Dirt bike.
Rad.
And,
shoot guns and...
No, I'm not really a gun dude.
Yeah.
No, but, I just dirt bike and I do a little bit of everything, not a lot of one thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. The side by side that I spend a lot of time in. I'm just kind of mob it around the logging roads out here.
Those are good for making a cabin, hey?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. You just drag a bunch of logs out.
Yeah, for sure. So that's probably my main activity in the summertime.
Side by siding.
Riding on that thing, yeah.
Is that like drinking and driving that thing around kind of thing?
Yeah,
you're hesitant. Yeah. Like camping and big fires and side by sides.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the zone to do that.
Yeah, it's sick.
Yeah, we went fishing up somewhere. Up one of the. It's either up that road or that one.
Yeah.
Is that what's. That one's Garibaldi or something that way or something.
That mountain there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's badass.
Yeah, it's nice.
You live in the best place.
It's a nice zone, yeah, for sure.
It's been a really nice conversation. Cool. I'm mostly excited that you said you beat up Sean White.
Yeah.
Same guy. Did you guys ever make up? It sounds like you didn't ever really need to.
Yeah, it was all good. Like, honestly, the next time I saw the guy, it was...
Mm-hmm.
It was all good. And now that when I see him every once in a while, it's all good.
Yeah, you feel stoked for him where he is?
Yeah, I mean, he's done super well. And like we've known each other for so long. It's like...
Sounds like he's off Burton. I think he quit. Yeah. He's going with Adidas or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I know he's definitely not on Burton anymore, but...
That's crazy, right?
It's pretty crazy.
It's crazy for me because nobody that big has left in that way before,
mm-hmm.
right? It's like Terrier leaving, but like 5-10 years ago or something.
yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I don't know. Honestly, don't really know the story about it, but
he sort of went away from being like a Burton-y guy, though. Like I feel like Burton's a little more core than he was.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he definitely wasn't ever core for sure.
Right.
But, he doesn't need the money either, really, like, to be honest, you know, he doesn't need, like, a snowboard paycheck to really...
Right, and a snowboard paycheck's not the main paycheck at this point anyways.
For sure, so...
Yeah, when I was talking with Craig McMorris, he doesn't even have a board sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people, their main sponsor is I guess, an energy drink or something?
Yeah, Lululemon. Some people, for sure.
Where does he get his boots?
he can get some boots for sure.
Yeah.
I think he lives with a guy, gets a lot of free stuff.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. He's kitted out. He told me he's kitted out. No, yeah. But that's crazy, right? Like, I'm still trying to wrap my head around that. Snowboarders are not sponsored by snowboard companies.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck?
I remember that when that was when it was getting normal that like riders wouldn't have a board sponsor. It was weird at first, for sure.
So what do you do if you don't have a board sponsor for boards? You just go to the ones that you like, or?
Yeah, I guess you just ride whatever.
But you go to a store and buy them?
No, you didn't.
You call them up and say, hey, you know what? I don't need to be sponsored by you, but send me a stack.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah. where you call like 10 companies and you get 10 different boards.
Could you do that? Like yeah, Sean sure. Farmer? Like just yeah, have, yeah, a, totally. Have a quiver of boards from different companies?
Yeah, no doubt. For sure.
That's fucked up. Yeah. But awesome.
Yeah.
I guess there's nothing more pure than that.
I guess it's kind of like would be a freedom of not having a board sponsor. You get to...
I had that when I, not that I was ever a sponsored dude, but like I worked for a shop that didn't have Burton.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I would only ride the companies we had at the store. And honestly, I would only ride what I would get from a rep for free.
Mm-hmm.
So that was limiting in such a big way. When yeah. I started buying my boards, I was like, this is dope. I can buy whatever I want.
Yeah.
And like ride like the best shit instead of riding like... the best I could get yeah, for yeah. free, you know?
Totally.
Yeah, I could see that. Man, oh man. Can you buy boards with no graphics on the bottom? Like, I guess if you're a snowboarder, you want to have a snowboard that's, like, out there in the world.
Yeah. I think like, I did notice for a while there were, like, a lot of other riders that didn't have board sponsors were riding blank boards.
Blanks?
For sure.
Wow.
They would just get them made from whoever, you know?
But not in the backcountry and, like, filming on them.
Yeah, a lot of people were. Wow. Or, like, yeah, if you didn't have... some people that didn't have a board sponsor would do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not, like, in protest, just, like, that's...
Yeah.
I'm not shilling for anybody, so whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
That's awesome, dude. Yeah. So what's the plan for the weekend? Are you guys...
We're actually heading out tomorrow morning. We're going to the split board lodge called Whitecap.
Cool.
So we're going to be out there until Tuesday.
Wow.
Yeah, so we're heading out tomorrow morning.
And then is there stuff out there that you just, like, you just split up it?
Yeah, I guess I've never been there before. I've honestly, like, never done a split board trip. I've done, like, a couple days here and there in sure. the early season, like, for exercise, really. But,
do you ever go up Sky Pilot up here?
I have helied up there before, but I've never,
You've helied up there?
Yeah, who's got, like, the tenure? The I don't know who has, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know who has it, but
it's pretty nice, okay. right? I saw some.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I saw some. Somebody sent me a bunch of pictures from back there.
Yeah, it's
supposedly
nice.
Shane McConkey was going up there for years, just bagging lines up
oh,
there.
Oh, sick! Yeah, that's awesome.
What do you think of Pettit becoming a snowboarder?
Yeah, it's sick. It's crazy. He's gotten so much better this year, man.
Yeah, because yeah. it was 2 years ago. Like it was 2017 that he did that. Like. Best skier on a snowboard edit, and I remember watching it. That's the last thing I saw of him.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I mean, he's okay, but
yeah.
like you can tell he's not like a pro snowboarder.
Yeah, yeah.
But now the stuff he's doing,
yeah, he's ripping.
He's crushing it.
Totally. Yeah, and he really loves it too, which is awesome. And you can tell he loves it, you know. So
yeah, because he's a sponsored skier yeah. with people paying him to ski,
yeah.
and everything that he's doing right now is snowboarding.
Mm-hmm.
That's rad.
Yeah, he's down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You ride with that guy a little bit?
Yeah, we used to ride together quite a bit, but I don't see him as much as I used to.
Yeah, I'm going to try and get him on the show just yeah, to talk should. About it, because sure. that sounds like a fun choice to make.
Yeah, no, he's sick. He's an awesome guy.
Yeah. Did you ever have any of that old school hatred skier snowboarder stuff?
I mean, yeah, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know. It was never necessarily like because they were skiing. I just never really got along with a lot of skiers.
Sure, sure.
Snowboarders better. And
because that was a thing when I was coming up. It was like a made up kind of thing. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Like I remember not hiring people at the boardroom because I'm like, it's called the boardroom.
Yeah.
Like if you ski, what the fuck would you want to do here, right?
Yeah. But
meanwhile, like skiers wear snowboard clothes and shit, and
mm-hmm.
and snowboarders could wear skier clothes. It's not even a thing. It's like just this old separation for no reason,
yeah.
really.
Yeah, I do feel like it has been like kind of been broken down in the last
totally,
couple of
right?
years, especially.
Yeah, you don't see a skier out in the backcountry and think, "Oh, that guy's a kook. He
yeah.
has to be a kook
because yeah,
he's
yeah.
a skier."
Totally. There's a lot of respect going down for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I remember when I was like, I was like 12. I had a sticker on my board and said, "Skiing is for fags."
Yeah, I remember
and, like,
that one.
My friend's mom, who would like pick us up to go, like take us to the hill.
Yeah,
she was like so bummed on the sticker.
Yeah, my kid actually had the ride sticker that said, "Skiing is for." little fat kids.
Yeah, and, I remember that sticker.
Yeah, and yeah. The teacher made him peel it off.
Yeah.
And then I was kind of mad, and then I was like, oh, wait, no, that's really rude.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's like a really awful...
For sure.
Yeah, snowboarding just had an identity crisis when we were coming up. We had to be mean for no reason whatsoever. Yeah. Unreal. Yeah. Well, you seem like a super polite guy, dude. It was really nice to chat with you.
Yeah, likewise.
Do you want to shout anybody out? You don't have to.
Yeah.
If you've got stuff you want to say, you can definitely say it. And a lot of people are like, fuck, you should have told me before.
I probably won't, just because I'm going to forget some people.
And then you'll feel bad.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, we can leave it at that, man.
Cool.
Fuck yeah. Thanks for having me in your house.
Yeah, anytime.
And let's go shred at some point. Do you ride with Steve Hare sometimes?
I'm trying to think. Like, we definitely have ridden before. Like at some Burton stuff, but
he's one of my favorite guys to ride with.
Cool.
He's just got that attitude of
he's a rad dude.
He's having fun.
For sure.
Yeah. It's a good fit, him and Burton.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, stoked. I miss him. He's moved up to
He's in Kelowna.
And I haven't seen him like regularly, like we used to ride all the time.
Okay, cool.
But and I think he bought a place up by Baldy.
Yeah, that's right. It's like it's an abandoned ski hill or something, or
something like that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to go visit him for sure.
Sounds cool.
Right on. Well, thanks for doing the show, dude.
Sick. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. Cool. Peace. That was rad. Thank you, Mikey, for doing the interview. F and Rad shout outs this week to Mount Seymour and all the people that were up there for that legendary session on Sunday. It was the last day. And actually, Anson and I went up to Cyprus for the morning. We got a bit of pow, dropped a back lap. And then I went to Seymour, met up with Rob Dow, Dan, Cashin showed up, and then Devin and Jake McIntyre showed up, and Spencer Forbes showed up. There's a lot of people there, man. I just miss Jeff Keebly. He should have been riding with us for sure. I know I missed the people. Oh, Artie was there. That was fun, buddy. It was a great last day. Shit went down. It was fun. There was pow there, too. And then I jumped ship and went and rode solo at Grouse for a quick 4 or 5 laps in the sunset and did the trifecta. That was something I've wanted to do since I was in my early 20s, like go to all 3 local mountains in the same day. And I finally did it, and it was fun. And, yeah, so that was a great last day for Mount Seymour, running the lifts and Cyprus. Grouse is still going to keep going for a couple weekends and maybe even some of the weekday afternoons as well. So check out grousemountain.com and go up there. And now I'm running ads in the tail. All right, whatever. Come on back next week for another episode of the F and Rad Snowboard Podcast, brought to you by SIA Productions.